going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic podcast. I am your host, Sean Kane, here on a Monday morning, March 13th. Man, another week of NBA action coming up. Of course, though, hey, it's March Madness. We've got some, just it's basketball time, man. Turn on the TV, should be on basketball pretty much from 7 p.m. on for the remainder of the month. I mean, just lock it in, bro. No reason to be watching anything else. Absolutely a nice little slate tonight. Of course, this is the NBA DFS podcast, giving you lineup construction ideas, lineup construction strategy for the slate to come. The pod where we give you the research, we give you the core, we suggest players in good matchups, you build the lineups, you take the information, you run with it. You guys are building here, learning here. I mean, I'm just so freaking happy for people these days. I'm getting so many tweets, and I guys, the reviews, the love on Twitter, the tweets of the results, seeing people just crush money, night after night after night after night, and, you know, just guys are, and it's not because, and I'm not, again, I'm going to say this right up front, it's not because of me. I'm just the information bearer. You guys, man, you guys are making the right lineup construction ideas. You're saying, you know what, this is a good spot for him. I know I can target this team at that position, da-da-da-da-da. All this stuff, you know what I mean? It's just, it's awesome, dude. You know, you see people taking down big money, consistent money, cashing on a regular basis. It just, it makes this all worth it. So I appreciate you guys, you know, shouting out the pod, sharing your results. I love seeing your success. Makes me happy. And I appreciate the reviews. The reviews are back, you know, we're back up. We got a couple extra reviews last week. And I just, that means the world to me too. It helps a lot of people find the show. You know, I put this out on Twitter on Friday, guys, and it means a lot. Show's at an all-time high for listens. That's not me. I don't listen to the show. I'm not listening to the show 2,000 times a day. That's you guys. And it's because you supporting me and Josh and man, hey, how about Fern? Fern on the Saturday pod, rock solid, man. Gosh, he got people into some serious money on Saturday night with the Ian Clark call. So happy for you guys if listening to the Saturday pod. And if you have not listened to the Saturday pod, go back and listen to the first 2 minutes. Josh does the world's funniest open you have ever heard. I'm not going to say anything else except for you have to listen to the first 2 minutes of the Saturday. It says Saturday Main Slate podcast for the 11th. Listen to the first 2 minutes. It is the funniest DFS thing that you have ever heard. I was just rolling, laughing. I immediately charged over to my wife. I was like, you have to listen to this. Listen to what Josh just did. Literally crazy weekend for me. I was off DFS. Had the in-laws in town, had grandparents in town, had my siblings in town. You know that feeling when there's like 45 people in your house and they're all just kind of standing waiting for dinner to be ready? And you're just like, you guys are all here. I love you. You're my family. Okay. When is everybody going to the airport? When are you guys leaving? You guys leaving on Sunday afternoon? Okay, cool. It's cool. Great. Love family, but god damn, there's a lot of them, right? Anyway, next hour, we are going to preview the night to come in the NBA with spreads, injury news, followed by a breakdown of players to target on this Monday slate upcoming. It's a nice slate, honestly. There's a lot of really solid mid-tier options, some good fantasy value, some nice matchups to target on the slate. But before we do that, let's recap the previous day lineup and figure out what we can learn. One of these nights. Okay, so I'm going to jump back to the Friday lineup. Friday, what a freaking disaster of a night. I'm going to jump back to the Friday lineup because the Saturday lineup, you know, I mentioned this. Saturday lineup, that was all Fern, man. Fern had people winning some great money on Saturday with some of those calls. He himself took down some solid money as well. Sunday night, there were some really good listener Cash as well. I was really happy to see you guys shout me some results there. But hey, Friday night was weird. We were on Isaiah Thomas, ultimately got on Matthew Dellavedova. I know I should have stuck with Corey Joseph and just taken my 23 points and gone on. Anyway, got on Dellavedova, Giannis, Sean Kilpatrick, pivoted down off of Jimmy because I just kind of liked the ownership leverage of going to Paul George. That worked out well. Harrison Barnes, Gorgui Dieng was kind of forced into that play just by a dollars situation. Aaron Gordon and Greg Monroe. I mean, you know, had a total bust from Dellavedova and, you know, was pleased with Giannis, but really, I mean, 4X, not quite enough. Paul George did great, really happy with him. You know, and everybody else just kind of, and Greg Monroe was fine. Everybody else just kind of went 4X. Nobody really did anything. You know, I think the biggest bust on the night was the fact that Boston going into Denver just absolutely fell flat on their face. I watched that game just going, okay, this is going to be a good one. You know, 120 points on both sides. Let's go. Boston just came out in the first quarter and looked like crap. And Denver was just, Denver runs this offense where Jokic will take the ball kind of like on the exterior of the paint, maybe like 15 feet out, and he'll play back to the basket. And the immediate idea is that this is Jokic going to work the post, right? And he has that option, but he stands there, and the dude has eyes in the back of his head, and he just takes cutters all day. The point guard will cut. If they get, you know, somebody isn't looking, the point guards will cut, the wings will cut, and they just destroy people. You know, they got a lot of really quick, easy baskets against Boston, and Boston just didn't really even fight back. Their offense looked flat, man, flat. Talk about a letdown after the Warriors game, just letdown city. You know, so starters don't even play the fourth quarter there. Thomas only gets to 30 points. That was a real bummer for me, you know, and then of course the real bummer was that I moved my money off of Bradley Beal. I mean, it's just, God, Josh said this, Bradley Beal is like a warm DFS blanket. You feel safe, you feel comfortable, you know what you're going to get. It was disappointing, to say the least. He goes for 58. You know, I was saying to people, you know, everybody was like, just weird night, because of course the Rockets-Bulls game was a disaster. You know, I think this is where, in a night like this, this is where discipline in bankroll management and discipline in game selection pays off, okay? You never want to be in a situation where you're, like, more excited for one slate than another slate, because it's just proof positive that you never know what's going to happen, okay? And in any given slate, you want to make sure that you have your back door covered, right? I mean, I just kept saying to people, like, you just got a weird slate like that, you got to cover your ass with your cash game exposure, 50-50 exposure. And that's what I did. I mean, I stayed on my 50-50s just barely, you know, and hey, I recoup my entry fees more or less, which I always try to proportion my total entry fees with, you know, half of which is 50-50, so that more or less, if I cash my 50-50s, I will recoup my entry fees. You know, that's like my base, you know, and then, okay, I move my way up, you know, in structure, doubles, triples, quins, GPPs, etc., right? So, you know, let's say you play $10 out in a given night, five of that in a $5 50-50, you're going to recoup $9 of that $10 if you hit that 50-50. It's just a good way to cover your ass. You know, and I think the other lesson is owning competitive games helps. And then the other thing that's interesting is, because, you know, that Milwaukee game was competitive all the way down the stretch. You got full minutes from Paul George, full minutes from Giannis. You know, that was full minutes from Greg Monroe. That was a good game to own. You had players more likely to hit value in that game. Now, Chris Middleton played like crap, but that was a good game to own. It got really sloppy at the end. There was, like, not a lot of scoring at the end. I was watching it. It just was sloppy. The last 5 minutes were not good. But anyway, And the Pacers offense, good gracious. Good God. What Monte Ellis ISO plays just really aren't going to do it for you guys. Okay. Between Monte Ellis and Rodney Stuckey. The other thing that is really interesting, leveraging ownership is pretty easy via Vegas. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Well, of course, everybody got really, really turned on by James Harden and Jimmy Butler. Primetime matchup, 222-point total. Ownership shares of Harden and Jimmy through the roof. Just go away from it. Most popular game, if it turns out to be a bust and you're not on it, boom. You know, you are there. And you are in the green. And it's just... It's an easy way to pivot away from clear, obvious, very chalky popular plays. You know, when you see a really popular high total, what's so supposed to be an interesting game. Now, you know, it's just as likely, like last night, the Cleveland-Houston game, it's just as likely that that game could stay competitive and you want to have shares of it, of superstars going head-to-head. You want that. But it's a really easy way to differentiate yourself to say, I know that that game is going to be the most popular because of the total, because Vegas says it's going to be competitive and high scoring. Well, I don't want that game because I'm going to go away from it because I know that I'll have an ownership leverage in somewhere else. So, you know, I think that that's a viable strategy. And we saw that on Friday night in action. People who were overweight on Washington Sacramento, for example, did really well. And that wasn't a really sexy game, but it had some solid plays in it. You know, and I think the last thing is you don't want to chase points. You want to chase regression. You want to chase regression. You want to see a guy who's bounced, you know, who's fallen off, bounce back. You know, I think that that's the better way to chase. You don't want to chase points, though. I mean, a guy like Sean Kilpatrick, it's a perfect chase point chasing situation. You know, I mean, okay, we go back to Sean Kilpatrick because he's had a number of 30-point games. Then he goes to Dallas, pace down situation, not perfect. And of course he goes for 19. It makes perfect sense. I mean, it just is, you know, that's negative regression. There's a reason that he's not a 30-point player. There's a reason he's not a 5, 6K player because he just hasn't done it that often. So, you know, you want to chase that regression and be careful. All right, so some good lessons to learn from the Friday night slate. But Saturday and Sunday, man, made up for. People just... blowing up, saw some really, really, really nice numbers. Bunch of guys over 300. Really, really happy for you guys. Good stuff. You know, let's jump into tonight's slate though, and we'll talk spreads. Okay, like I said, we've got some really nice balanced slates this week. By the way, some really just nice size. No real mini slates, and no, you know, monstrous slates. I was looking at him. You know, and I think that's partially because we get a lot of college basketball on. So, tonight we have, the first game of the night. We've got Chicago at Charlotte, 199 total here. This is actually, this is a pace down game. This is an interesting game, but a pace down game. Most of these teams prefer to play at kind of a mediocre at best pace. Charlotte favored by 7 at home, definitely playing very well. The Hornets and the Bulls just absolutely dumpster fire. Just tank, please. Tank and get rid of Garpax and move on. This is an embarrassment to one of the best franchises in professional sports. And I mean that with all certainty. All sincerity. It's unbelievable. That they keep trotting this out and disrespecting the fans in Chicago. Like, we don't know what the fuck we're watching. You know what? Give me a break. This team is not doing anything. It's not going anywhere. You get Dwayne Wade, golden parachute contract. Jimmy Butler, who clearly doesn't want to be there because he's now kind of has a prima donna because he's in best friends with Marky Mark. It's a terrible team and a terrible roster and just an absolute disgrace. The fact that they're just 4 games under 500 is sheer luck. Bulls injuries, nothing serious. I mean, I think the thing is you have to realize that like Hoiberg is like being asked to trot out a lot of these young assets, you know, like, you really kind of don't have a lot of viable minutes in the backcourt and the frontcourt. Like between Mirotić and Portis and Kanan and Grant and Michael Carter-Williams and Denzel Valentine and Rajon Rondo. I mean, you just like the only person, people who are getting serious minutes is Jimmy Butler and Robin Lopez. And, you know, okay, they're in play because of their minutes. On the Charlotte side of the ball, we might get Frank the Tank back, but I don't really know that they're going to rush him back after that shoulder injury. There were reports that he could be shut down for the season, but now he's back. So we'll see what we got there. I think that would affect Marvin Williams. It feels like a good time to get off Marv, guys. I don't know. Anyway, he had a great weekend, though. Dallas at Toronto, 195 total here. Toronto favored by 4 at home. Toronto on a little bit of a skid, needs a W here. You know, the rest of the East is kind of doing work. Nerlens, we'll see what Nerlens does. He may play, but he may not. DeMar Carroll doing an in ankle thing. He sat out over the weekend. Norman Powell will get the start if Carroll sits. So something to keep an eye on. Powell's a good scorer. And a really nice price there at 4K. So something to watch. Milwaukee at Memphis, 199 total here. Memphis favored by 4 at home. This is actually a decent game to target. I think a lot of people will think, oh, at Memphis, no way, man. I'm not touching the Bucks. Well, they actually had a pretty competitive matchup history. Memphis giving up a little bit more scoring than they usually do, especially on the wings. So, you know, not a bad game to target. I think it could stay close. I just don't see a scenario where Memphis gets completely blown out and Milwaukee in the playoff hunt now. Milwaukee in the playoff hunt. They want this win. They want those wins. They want every W that they can get. They're trying to sneak into the Eastern Conference playoffs. So, you know, which God, given everything that that freaking team has done, you know, it would really be pretty special for them to sneak into the eighth seed here. And, you know, okay, fine, a first round series with Cleveland, who they've struggled with this year, but like, you know, that's just a big confidence experience booster for a lot of those young guys, you know, especially without Parker in the lineup. But like, to see a series where you get Brogdon, Giannis, and Middleton, who's kind of their youth core, you know, get some good playoff minutes together against LeBron. You need that for that team. They need this moment. So I think that Milwaukee, you know, throws everything they got at Memphis here and tries to get the W on the road. Speaking of Brogdon, we'll keep an eye on Brogdon. He may not be he may not play in this one. So who knows? On the Memphis side of the ball, no serious injuries to worry about. Interesting spot for Memphis, you know. Competitive game at home. Don't mind it. Atlanta at San Antonio, 200-point total here. San Antonio favored by 6 at home. Of course, San Antonio just banged up. Age catching up with them. The whole LaMarcus Aldridge heart arrhythmia thing, man. I'm just glad they found it and they got him off the court. Because, God, can you imagine the tragedy if something serious would have happened? Really happy that LaMarcus is getting good care now and in serious, you know, they're giving this injury serious consideration. Kawhi, still in concussion protocol. Don't know if he's on a quest. He's got a questionable tag. Who knows? You know, I don't think that Pop, I don't think Pop will rush him back, especially in a non-conference game. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. With everybody so banged up, I don't see Pop rushing him back to play the Hawks. I think he'd rather save him for an Eastern Conference or Western Conference game and you know, just maybe see if he can beat the Hawks with what he's got. So I don't know. I don't – even if Kawhi plays, it makes me nervous. You know, so, okay, and then we got Deontay Murray out and Tony Parker out. Patty Mills very much in play. I think he also probably put Manu in play here because he'll run a little bit of point. He coming off a day of rest. He doesn't play back-to-backs, but he will play – off of a day of rest. So maybe a little Manu, maybe a little bit of Patty Mills. Patty Mills, of course, just tilting and very inconsistent. but he does have Schroeder, Nice matchup. So on the Hawks side of the ball, the Dwight Howard, he got rested on Saturday. Don't know if he's injured or something, but here's the play if Howard sits, by the way. And God, I should have tweeted this out. I feel bad. People were asking me, what do you do with Howard sitting? Is it more run for Millsap? It's Torian Prince, actually, guys. He plays a lot more minutes. They needed a four that can back up Millsap, and they did all the Mike Muscala experiment and all this shit. Torian Prince, I don't know how to say his first name. T. We'll call him T. T. Prince, playing really well and has actually gotten some decent run. He'll get 20-plus minutes. And, you know, he's an athletic four. He's just a big body who rebounds and can run and can move. And when Howard sits, Prince is the play. So if he, you know, maybe not against the Spurs, but the price is really good. Washington at Minnesota, 214 total here. Minnesota only favored by one, but let's be wary about the Wizards. Man, God, they are hot. Hot. But let's be wary about the Wizards. Two overtime games on the road trip on the West Coast here in the last 3 days. Friday night overtime, Saturday night overtime. Okay, something to keep an eye on. They have been on the road for the better part of the week. Remember, they were on the road. They were in Phoenix. They were in Denver. They played all those games in Sacramento. You know, I don't know if there's an ice show or whatever in Washington. That's what we got here. So be cautious with your Wizards. They are bound to hit a wall, and this might be the wall that they hit. Minnesota playing well. A couple good wins here for the Wolves, you know, which is nice to see because this team was supposed to be very good coming into the season, you know, and they're now four games out of the playoff hunt. I mean, there's a couple of really solid teams ahead of them in the Mavs and the Blazers. You know, you don't really see them making a run for the playoffs, but I do see Tibbs saying, we're playing well, let's keep the core together, let's make sure we get good experience, good minutes, and this is exactly that matchup. No injuries to be worried about in this one, really, so, you know, fire up your Wolves and your Wizards, but your Wizards with caution. Clippers at Jazz, little playoff preview here, the 4 and the 5 seed in the West. Jazz struggling, they're a little bit banged up as well. Clippers trying to hold on, stay strong, make a nice push through to make sure that they don't slide too far and they're playoff ready to go. The big news, you know, Derek Favors is probably going to be out. The big news that we got to watch is we got to watch Gobert and we got to watch George Hill. I think that changes this game a lot. If we don't get any George Hill, I'm a little bit more interested in Chris Paul. But Chris Paul just really not playing well, not really doing a ton fantasy-wise, not playing that well. So, interesting game. This is a game to target for low ownership. People are going to stay away. You don't really know what to do with it. Guys are priced up. They're not priced perfectly. You know, you don't have a lot of standout value. We know they're defensive-minded teams. This is a GPP target. This is where you say, you know, you're going to get guys low owned and you target these guys. You know, if you wanted low ownership, high, possibly high competition games, stack Milwaukee, Memphis, and stack LA, Utah. Mix and match players, you know, three players from each of that games and then fill in some value guys. Low ownership. Orlando at Sacramento, 207 total here. Orlando favored by one on the road. The Vooch Monster is back. He played pretty well in his first game back, went for a double-double. And on the Sacramento side, nothing to worry about. Sacramento keeping games competitive, though, man. So you hope that this one stays competitive down the stretch. Sacramento's been playing well, you know, good for them. They're giving their fans at least something to think about rather than just punting the whole season, paying attention to what the future looks like. LA at Denver, woohoo! Fantasy gold! 230 total here, Denver favored by 12. I apologize, that was very strange. I'm excited to be back on the pod, I gotta be honest with you guys. 230 total in the Denver game here. Lakers coming off the back-to-back. Denver coming off a nice weekend. I think Denver's coming off a back-to-back as well. If I remember, didn't they just play Sacramento last night? Let me check this. Hold on one second. Like I said, I didn't play. I felt like a man without a home not playing DFS. They played Saturday night. They played Saturday night. Okay. So, yeah, L.A. coming off the back-to-back. The Jordan Clarkson game, of course. Clarkson goes for 50. Whoa. But something to consider here, and I realize that we haven't gotten into the player breakdown just yet. I apologize. Something to consider here. These teams that are in the bottom portion of the league right now, outside of the playoff chase, bottom five, so your cellar dwellers, your Lakers, your Suns, your Kings in the Western Conference, and then your Magic, your 76ers, your Nets, they need a youth movement. Okay, they are going to hammer their young players. They are going to just let those guys develop. They're going to give them as many NBA quality minutes as they possibly can. They're really going to let them shine and try to see who is worth keeping, who is worth extending, who is worth shipping off. So, I mean, look for these young guys to get lots and lots and lots of minutes in these games upcoming, which kind of at one hand makes them hard to trust, but at the same time, you've got some really nice value that's targetable in these situations because they just want to develop these players. They want to see what they got in these young guys. So that is what we have tonight. Let's go ahead and not waste any more time and go through the player breakdown. Okay, let's go through the lock and load segment here. This is where we sort through our studs. You know, one thing I want to talk about, guys, real quick before this is this theory of, it's a fantasy theory that it was brought up, I forget the writer's name, but he does the Black Book series, fantasy Black Book series. Relative position value, okay? And I think that it's very applicable to DFS because what we're thinking about is relative cost value. And Josh mentioned this the other day. Let's say you have an $8,000 player. Well, not only should you be comparing him to other $8,000 players at his position, for example, an $8,000 point guard, you should be comparing him to other $8,000 players on the slate. Because if you think about it, if you're spending that money, what you're looking for is 40 points and a possible ceiling. Well, okay, if I'm going to spend that much money on that guy, do I want to try to maximize my value? Do I want a guy with a 30-point floor, a 25-point floor? Do I want a guy with a 30-point floor with a 45-point ceiling? You know, so you have to consider relative cost value here. And when you're thinking about your studs, that is so important because if you're going to invest $10,000 or you're going to invest $11,000 in a player, you want a guy who not only has a floor but has a nice ceiling and has a good opportunity to reach that value. Okay, the difference between 50 and 60 points is the difference between $50 and $1,000 in a GPP. And we know that. We know that. So think about where you're investing your money. It matters. It matters. And you're not just comparing your spending in one position. You're comparing it across positions. Okay, so at point guard, we have Kemba Walker at 8-4. Now, I realize I've got John Wall up there and Chris Paul, but I think Kemba is my favorite option of the high-priced point guards on tonight's slate. They've got a 103 implied total. Not great. Not a great pace. Solid, solid DVP matchup, however. Bulls are bottom three in DVP to the point guard in the last five games. Kemba is getting 40 points in the last seven games since the All-Star break. Tons of minutes, tons of attempts. His price is still solid. You know, we still know that at 40 points, that's a great spot for him. This is a great spot for him to go for 40 at 8-4. You know, the only reason he didn't hit value, by the way, against the Magic was because he didn't play the fourth quarter. They were up by 25. And had he played the fourth quarter, he would have hit value. It's only 10 more fantasy points, you know? So I really like Kemba Walker in this spot to get you 40. Solid floor, great DVP situation. I don't think they'll blow the Bulls out with a healthy Dwayne Wade and a healthy Jimmy Butler. Charlotte's defense isn't that good that they will be able to run the Bulls out of the building. But, you know, we should see Kemba Walker get really good usage here and not a lot of resistance from the Bulls' backcourt. You know, the reason I don't like Wall is he's that two overtime games in 3 days. He's still on the road. The Rubio is a decent matchup for sure, but the Wolves are decent backcourt defense. He's just too expensive, worrying that the bottom might fall out in one of these games. And if they don't go overtime or they get blown out, they need the rest. It's you worry that the bottom is going to fall out. There's a lot of risk here now. You know, and Paul has a healthy, has the Jazz team, you know, with a healthy George Hill. You don't really love that. It's a pace down situation. You know, and he's really not really shown much of a, you know, you really want Chris Paul when he's got a 40-point floor, and his floor these days is really a lot closer to 30 points, you know, big 20-point swings and a lot more performances in the 30s than you like to see from a guy who's 8'7". It's just too much to pay for a guy who could get you 30 points and, you know, move on. So I think Kemba Walker's your best bet here for a high-priced point guard. At shooting guard, it's Giannis at 10-7 against Memphis. You may not like the matchup with Memphis, but I think that there's a lot here. Tight spread, you know, a game that Milwaukee wants to win. I think he's more of a GPP play, like I said. You know, there's another stud on this slate that feels like a lock. You know, and if there's anywhere that you attack the Grizzlies, it's on the wings. We've seen good games from twos and threes against Memphis of late. They just don't have the speed to keep up with these wings, to be completely honest with you. He's had an excellent game against them earlier this year, 52 fantasy points. You know, Tony Allen and Tyler Ennis, nope, not good. They're really good in the front court, but you know, the Grizzlies are not great on the wings. And Tony Allen's a great defender. He's just old. He's just old, and he's undersized compared to Giannis. You know, I think the difficulty with Giannis and the reason that I'm saying, you may say, well, that's a lock, man. That's a stud. Because of the matchup history and the DVP. Yeah, the reason that I'm saying he's GPP is because, I mean, listen to this range. All the way down at 37 points or 69 points against the Knicks. I mean, a 30-point range of outcomes for this guy makes total sense. You could see him going off for a ceiling game, or you could see him really just kind of doing 40. And that variability, to me, doesn't make him a cash game play in this matchup. So I think he's a GPP consideration, and you'll probably get him pretty low-owned, I think, and that's a pretty solid, you know, opportunity there, but it is high risk, high reward, given the pace of the game. So, at small forward, God, I just keep having to talk about Jimmy. And as much as I love Jimmy Butler, as just for the abusive relationship that we have, I just can't get away from talking about him. I have to. He's 8.9. He's got the Hornets on the road. Pace is neutral, 103 total. Sorry. The price is so appealing. I mean, this price for a guy who has a 55, 60-point ceiling is just almost, oh, it's so tempting. He had freaking 70 or 80 points against Charlotte this year at home. Okay, now, it was a perfect scenario. No Dwayne Wade, overtime, everything. It's not going to happen again, but wow. Wow. And I think Nick Batum was out too, by the way. It was in that early run in January. I'm not sure if Nick Batum was in or out, but he had a stretch where he was injured in January, if I remember correctly. Anyway, I don't know what to do with Jimmy Butler, guys. I got to be honest with you. He's like clearly checked out. His minutes are just terrible lately because basically Fred Hoiberg has no control over this team, so he just plays everybody. You know, Charlotte has been improving against the wings, too, to be completely honest with you. You know we used to target shooting guards against the wings. They're actually improving against shooting guards and small forwards of late. You know, they gave up a decent game to Waiters a couple nights ago, but 40 points to the shooting guard of late, which is dead middle and small forward, dead middle of the pack. So it's not a perfect situation, but because of his price, Jimmy is GPP viable, man. It really is like a really great price to be able to say, you know, okay, Jimmy, give me 45. That's not crazy at all. That's not crazy at all. And that's above 5X. So anyway, but a power forward, we got my man, the Joker. Nikola Jokic, my favorite player to play. I love Nikola Jokic at 10K on the nose. He's got the Lakers. He will be chalkity chalk, guys. It's just the safest, clearly the safest stud situation on the slate. No question asked. And it's so easy then, when you know what the safest stud situation, it's so easy to spend your money somewhere else for GPPs. Because if Jokic busts and Giannis outperforms him, then boom, you've immediately got leverage on the whole field. So, okay, there's your GPP play. There's your GPP play. Anyway, but Jokic just feels like a lock for me, no question. I'm going to eat the chalk here. Solid price, solid matchup. Denver holding on to this 8 seed. Good weekend for them. You know, they want another win against a young Lakers team that's trying to develop. Highest total, highest pace of the night, you know, and he seems to be okay. He's healthy. He played on the back-to-back over the weekend and then took a full day of rest yesterday. So you like him in this situation at home. He showed a floor of about 40 points with 30 minutes of production. And, you know, and the Lakers just gave up 45 points to Dario Saric. A similar profile of player. I mean, away from the basket, 4-5, you know, kind of, you know, five-tool player who's going to do blocks, steals, five-tool. I'm thinking about baseball. blocks, steals, rebounds, assists, and scoring, you know, and you just love the opportunity for him to stack up triple-doubles or stack up a triple-double here by getting, you know, all the assists and the rebounds, etc. So anywhere from 45-plus, I can see, you know, for safety here and for Serbia. For Serbia. This is also for Serbia. Let's do it. Anyway, at center, we've got Kat at 10-7, which, by the way, okay, that's the other viable GPP pivot, right? I don't want to go to Jokic. I'll go to Kat. Same, more or less the same value, actually same cost, same investment, but way lower ownership. And all you're doing there is you're saying, okay, all I need a Giannis or a Kat to do in a tournament is outperform a Jokic. Now, if Jokic outperforms all of them, given his perfect, beautiful, sexy situation, very possible. However, if Kat and Giannis, who are in more competitive, possibly in more competitive games, outperform Jokic, then again, you've got leverage on the field on all those people who have Jokic in their lineup. So, hey, something to think about. 10-7, he's at home against Washington, a game, you know, against a team, long road trip. Gortat, though, is solid against the center. You know, we saw that Saturday against Nurkic. You know, he didn't let Nurkic do much on Saturday day, even though they played for a while against each other. He, you know, Gortat went for 15 and 15, and Nurkic did not quite even do that. So Gortat is a solid, you know, defensive center who can move his feet and is just very physical, very strong. So, you know, I don't love Kat's matchup here, but he has, you know, he's had a lot of variability anywhere in the, you know, the high 30s up to the 60s. But he is better at home, you know, that's for sure. So if you want a Kat exposure, you do it when he's at home to feel a little bit safer here. There's a 40-point floor for Karl-Anthony Towns in this one. You know, how much is there a ceiling against the, you know, against a team that is, you know, 13th in DVP, that's, you know, not really a pace-up situation in any, you know, in any respect. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you feel like, okay, maybe you get 40 if you can squeeze out 45 or 50, you're lucky. You know, and maybe Gortat gets in foul trouble, you get some extra Karl-Anthony time. I'm not really sure. It's just kind of, it's GPP viable for me. That's Karl-Anthony Towns. Okay, Fantasy Grout, 5 mid-price guys to fill into, or excuse me, you're more than 5, but mid-price guys to fill into that second tier, 5 to 8K range. At point guard, I think there's one that I really like here, and it's D'Angelo Russell. And the reason that I like D'Angelo Russell is that Clarkson got more minutes last night. Russell should get those minutes back tonight. He's a great matchup history with Denver. Jameer Nelson a little bit banged up. Russell at 6'7". He's shown a 40-point ceiling of late. He's shown a 47-point ceiling against Denver. He should be in line for 30-plus minutes. I hope people chase Clarkson. Chase him. Chase him all the way down the freaking street. Chase him all the way to Denver. He's cheaper. That's great. You know what? And Clarkson probably gets you 5X, but Russell has a possibility to go 6X here. I like this one quite a bit. Bottom five DVP, Denver, highest pace, highest total. He's priced well. You know, he's averaged 30 fantasy points in 25 minutes this year against the Lakers. You know, his most recent performance, he got 35 and he went for 47. So I like this spot for D'Angelo Russell here. You know, I think that there's also, though, some value, some interesting pivots down at point guard. I don't really mind, you know, I don't mind. Interestingly enough, I think you have some ownership leverage with a guy like, you know, a guy like a Collison, who people have been off getting Orlando at home. I don't mind that call at all. You know, and I think then you could go down into the bargain bin as well. You know, we're going to have some Patty Mills. And the other guy that we'll talk about this in the value section, but there's definitely some value a point guard tonight to consider. So, but D'Angelo Russell is my favorite in the mid-tier here. At shooting guard, I think there's two solid options. The shooting guard is pretty deep today. There's actually a couple, and power forward. There's a couple, like, really solid, I'm okay with this type of options. So at shooting guard, there's two that I really, really like here. I really like Nick Batum. It just, like, he's so consistent, and he's so much more consistent at home, and he's going to be at home. I mean, he has basically a 30-point floor and a 40-point ceiling, and you're only paying for a guy who's asked to get 36 points, okay? You know, as soon as he goes, you know you're going to get nothing. You're probably not going to get less than 4X, and you could get 6X. You know, that's nice to know, and he's probably going to fall right in that mid-range, right around 5X. You know, the matchup with the Bulls, you know, they're fine. They're bottom 10 of the DVP to the position, and then the last five games, they've actually given up a lot of production. Part of that's James Harden. They give up 45 points to the shooting guard. You know, they're just allowing a lot of scoring and assists to guards, and that's part of the reason why you like Kemba, but it's part of the reason why you also like Batum in this situation. I think the other guys that you can go down to, though, are Gary Harris and Evan Fournier. I like them both. Gary Harris, man, he's back. You know, we were all on him all over the place. We loved him. And then he had that huge bust and we all went, oh, no. I mean, the dude has been back to Gary Harris things, you know, 30 minutes, 30 points. Okay. Last three performances after the bust. Four performances, 27, 34, 16, and 35. Okay, against LA this year already, he has had 31 points in one contest. You know, you really don't feel bad about Gary Harris at 32 minutes against the Lakers. So, you know, don't mind him in this spot. But I really like Evan Fournier. I don't love that Vooch is back in the lineup. But I do love how much production the Sacramento has been giving up to the wings. I mean, Fournier is very similar to me to Batum, okay? You have a floor here. You have a floor of about 23 points for Fournier, okay? That's 4X. And you have a ceiling of 6X. You know, and you know that basically you're not going to get much less than 4X, you know, and you could easily get more than 6X, you know, and I think that just that kind of security in cash games, it's worth paying for. You know, it's just one of those things that you cannot overlook. That safety is very, very, very important. So I have no problem with Batum and Fournier. I also don't have a problem with Gary Harris. But beyond that, I think you got to look at some of the value guys, and we'll talk about that in a second. At small forward, though, let's look in the middle here. Andrew Wiggins at 7'3". I love this price for Andrew. This is a price play. This is all price for me. I've been trying to wait for the Wiggins bounce back, right? We've all been kind of like, when is Wiggins going to do Andrew Wiggins scoring things and score 30 again and just get red hot. Well, this might be it. I'm not really sure, but this might be it. I really like this situation for Wiggy. Priced all the way down from like 8K. He's all the way down to 7.3. It's an excellent price for him. He has an excellent matchup history with the Wizards. Earlier this year against the Wizards, he scored 40 real-life points, you know? And it's one of those positive regression things. The dude is a really good player. He just hasn't been playing really, really, really well. He hasn't been stacking up a lot of peripherals. The offense kind of hasn't been running through him. You know, Rubio has been doing a lot of the ball handling and stacking up a lot of those peripherals. But Wiggins gets hot. They can start to force feed him. He will absolutely take shots and he will absolutely get some minutes. You know, I think it's just a really good situation to target Andrew Wiggins here. Now, the difficulty is that there is value at small forward that I have. You know, I have no problem with Wiggins. And if you're considering, I have no problem with the value. If you're considering Wiggins at 7-3, you also have to then, okay, let's compare him across the slate at other players who are 7-3, namely Nicholas Batum. Range of outcomes. Okay, you know, I mean, if you're thinking about spending $7,000 on a player, 7-3, where are you going to put that 7-3? Are you going to put it on Nick Batum or are you going to put it on Andrew Wiggins? I'm not really sure where I'm going to put that. I haven't really settled on who it's going to be. It's one of the two, though, for sure. I like one of them. If I could get both of them, I would. But I think I need one more piece of value to open up in order for that to happen. Anyway, so Wiggy at 7-3 is an excellent, excellent matchup history here. Wizards giving up points on the wings lately. I mean, they gave up 36-plus points to CJ McCollum. They gave up a lot of points in that Sacramento game on the wings. You know, I think Wiggins should be able to take advantage of a team that just doesn't have a lot of legs, and we know he's going to get the minutes. He's at home, coming off of rest. A point, fantasy point per minute, 36 fantasy points. Not bad. I mean, it's not crazy. It's not crazy at all. 5X. I also think that you could do Gallinari or Middleton in this situation. Gallo, of course, has the Lakers, but Gallo just not really producing that much with a healthy Denver rotation. So he profiles more as a GPP play, dart throw. I don't think you're going to guarantee to get much ceiling out of Gallo in this situation. So, you know, not my favorite spot, but Chris Middleton, the minutes are just, they're there. The price is back down. We know he has a 30, 40 point ceiling. I think he just kind of has leveled off here against, you know, and in his role, he's leveled off a little bit. So, you know, another kind of GPP viable play. But both of those guys are solid for 25 to 30 points, Middleton and Gallinari. But then there's some really appealing value. I keep saying this at the end of every session. There's some really appealing value options. Anyway, let's go down to power forward. At power forward, you've got Marv at 6'5". I think, you know, you have to look at a guy who's best been absolutely on a tear. Double doubles, you know, 35, 45, 46 points, you know, just keeps going up the ranks, you know. Now, New Orleans, he gets extra minutes because they played overtime there. But clearly the minutes are secure. You feel really good about the floor here, 25 to 30 points. You know, the extra production without Kaminsky in the lineup, Marvin is just really taking advantage of that. I mean, and as he should, you know, hey, you get an injury in that spot, go get your job and hold on to it. So I don't mind Marv at all, although I really do think, guys, this is an easy spot to fade and jump off. Just from strategic position, I think it's really easy to just say, not chasing it. Here's the logic of not chasing it. Bulls are stingy against the power forward because they're a very good rebounding team. They just don't give up a lot of rebounds. And so, you know, okay, you don't get a double-double out of Marv. Maybe you only get, you know, you get his normal scoring, you get 15 points, and maybe you only get 7 rebounds because the Bulls. Okay, then you're only at about 25 fantasy points and you've paid a season high price for a guy who's been hot lately. I think it's easy fade. You know, hopefully everybody else chases it. And if you're fading Marv, you also should be fading Julius Randle for the same reason. We know Julius Randle needs rebounds in order to hit his ceiling. I feel like I do so much research on power forward. We know Julius Randle needs rebounds to hit his ceiling. Denver is the best rebounding team in the league. He hasn't done more than really 30 points in recent history against Denver. You don't want Julius Randle in a game where he can't rebound. And he doesn't try to rebound. He doesn't like it. It's not like he's going to be, you know, Taj Gibson in there battling tip ball. No. He's like, okay, fine, you take it. I don't want it. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So, I'm not chasing Julius Randle here. I think the thing that you can do very, very easily is go down to some of these guys. For example, Serge Ibaka, he's got Dallas. We know Dallas gives up a lot of rebounds. It's a pace down situation, but Serge has been getting 30 plus minutes. He should be able to get himself to 30 fantasy points in this situation, you know, and he'll be playing against a pretty mediocre front court at best. You know, I think he's more worrisome coming off of a back-to-back, but he hasn't played since Saturday, you know, and he should be able to get 30 minutes in this situation in Dallas. And, you know, Dirk defense isn't really that much of a concern to me. And if he gets, you know, 3 or 4 extra rebounds, I really like that. And at 6'4", I think it's a good price to target Serge. I also don't mind, though, however, I don't mind 3 other plays. And I know this isn't really that helpful, but I think what it gives you is it gives you the option to build the rest of your roster and then see what you end up with at your power forward 2, considering you're probably going to put Jokic at power forward 1. You build everybody else, you make very careful decisions about those guys, and then, you know, you go to power forward 2. I don't mind Aaron Gordon and Willie Cauley-Stein. They're going to be facing off against each other. Just 2 teams that are the front courts are kind of mediocre at best. You know, I think it's a really good spot to target those guys. The value at power forward really isn't there. I don't really want to go too far below David Lee, for example. And I like David Lee at 4'7". With LaMarcus out, he's been seeing, you know, really, really pretty solid minutes here. My guess would be he's going to see, you know, they came off of rest, so he's not going to get that, you know, back-to-back problem. he will probably see somewhere in the 20 minutes here, you know, but I think we need to be careful about David Lee because Pop wants to protect him because he's a starter quality in a team that right now doesn't have a lot of starters. So I'm not going to force David Lee because he could, you know, take 18 minutes. That's about it, though. That's where kind of I'm getting off. I mean, I guess maybe you could go down to a guy like maybe a Jamichael Green Jamichael Green. You wish you knew when he was going to get those minutes. I wish I knew when Jamichael was going to get minutes. He just doesn't always get them. Huge range of outcomes for Green. So that's power forward. You know, maybe Jokic and then plus one guy in the 5K range. Your choice. Gasol is my center, 7'7". Center is a little thin today, fellas. Gasol's getting the Milwaukee front court in a game. You know, he averaged a fantasy point per minute in general, but he averages a fantasy point per minute against Milwaukee here. They're 24th in DVP to the position. He's got a 40-point ceiling. We know if this game stays close down the stretch, you know, you like Gasol because he also is lower owned. It's just kind of a nice, solid play. Like, there's 3 or 4 different plays on this slate where you know you're going to get 4 to 6x. That's safe for cash. Now, you know, you're not going to maximize upside necessarily, but that means it's a safe cash slate. You know, you feel good about your 50-50s and your doubles here tonight. You know, strategically, that's just kind of what you can do. And then you have to try to maximize upside in other positions and get above, you know, 5x. So, you know, it's a good position to lock in some of those values. And Marc Gasol definitely follows into that 4 to 6X category. You know, at 4X in this, at this price, he's getting you around 30 points at 6x, he's getting you above 40. So, okay, let's say anywhere from 28 to 42 points. Yeah, 28 to 42 points, that's a pretty good range of outcomes for a guy who in, you know, in the last couple games has been, you know, pretty consistently. He struggled against Atlanta for sure, but, you know, I think he's coming off of rest. He'll get 33 minutes, you know, and we've seen anywhere from, you know, yeah, 20 points has kind of been the floor of late, but I just don't see 20 points against a poor defensive front court, you know, in this situation. I really don't. So don't mind Marc Gasol at all in this situation. And, I guess the pivot is Vooch, really. You can go down to Vooch, who just has been very, very solid of late. And, you know, just is a good, he's a good player. You know, they finally are getting his pricing right for a guy who has a 40-point ceiling. You know, and I think Sacramento against the center, they're not necessarily great. They're not, you know, we've seen some big games from some good centers against them, you know, so I don't mind targeting them. They've given up 48 in the last five. I don't mind Vooch, you know, a healthy Vooch against them. But, you know, Milwaukee is worse and it's only $200. So, you know, same possible range of outcomes. I don't know. Gasol or Vooch, I think you're very happy with them. And then, you know, there's not much below that that I love. There's not much else that I'm going to be married to in this situation. I guess Gortat is in play at 5'7", you know, just because Cat is not a very good defensive center. And, you know, if Gortat gets 30 minutes, he'll get you 30 points, which is really nice for a guy who's 5'7". You know, so if you're kind of like, I love the rest of my roster, do I want to go with Gortat? Okay, you could do it. You could do Gortat, and you don't have to change anything else, and you're okay with that, you know? But that's where I'm at with center. Okay, let's move on to the bargain basement here. Guys in the below 5K range that we are, you know, I talk about relative position value or relative cost value, guys, with studs, okay? It's the same with your bargain players. Okay? It's the exact same with your bargain players. Well, it's the same with every player, but like, here's the reality. On Friday night, I was considering whether or not I should play Quincy Acey against the Mavs, with no Brook Lopez in the lineup, or I should play Delly. Acey was 36, Delly was 4K. I went with Delly because I went with Delly, okay? But what you have to consider and you have to compare is those three to, in this case, it was 9 points. Those 9 fantasy points were huge. They're huge points at the end of the night. Those 9 extra points are a massive difference. And the reality is that had I gone AC, I would have gone with a different point guard and I could have maximized my upside. And so you have to compare your value guys to one another as well. So when you're saying one of these value guys, you have to think who of these value guys is in the best position. And the way you calculate the best position, I believe, is if you know he's in a good matchup from a DVP perspective, you know he has pace and you know he has minutes. Okay, pace and minutes are two of the safest things to take with value. If you know he has pace and you know he has minutes, then you know you're going to have a good situation for this player. Okay, even if the talent isn't as strong as maybe one of your other options. You know, Dellavedova is a league-proven guy. He's a veteran, whatever, over AC. Well, AC had a good DVP matchup there. And AC had minutes because there's no Brook Lopez. So should I have gone with Quincy AC? Yeah, probably. But, you know, so you have to consider minutes for your value guys and you have to consider pace for your value guys because extra possessions, extra opportunities are going to just lead to, you know, and those little points with those value guys, shit, a rebound for one of your value guys may be the difference between him going 3X and up past 4 and 5X, you know, I mean, rebounds, you know, stupid stuff like that. 2 points at the end of the game, garbage time points, you know, that's the difference. And it matters. It really does. So I think, you know, we have to consider our value guys very, very carefully in here. So at point guard, there's a couple different options. I think Patty Mills is going to be in play. We've got a lot of injuries to the Spurs. But, you know, he should share with Manu. I think he'll share the point with Manu, and Danny Green will just play the two more or less the whole time. But let's get a full report on the Spurs. You never trust Pop. Deontay Murray is absolutely also, or excuse me, not Deontay Murray, Jamal Murray in play here. Jamal Murray, if Jameer Nelson can't go, or Jameer Nelson is questionable or whatever, he's played, but like he's got a hip thing. Jamal Murray has been getting a lot of good run, and he is at 3.8, I believe it is, at a really nice price against the Lakers. You know, this is an ideal situation for them to run a couple extra minutes for Murray. If they want to see Murray get some run, then this is the situation that they do it, because you got a young player against another young team, and Murray has gotten, you know, somewhere near 20 minutes in the last couple games. And, you know, you don't mind the Lakers defense is no good. You know, he got 27 minutes last time out against the Lakers and put up 21 fantasy points, 21 fantasy points at 3.8. It's above 5X. You'll take that from one of your value guys. So I think Jamal Murray firmly in play. I mean, you think about it, especially, oh God, if Jameer Nelson is out, give me all the Jamal Murray. At shooting guard, there's a couple options. Manu Ginobili, 3.9, risky because he's old and he has a terrible 9-point floor. But he also has a 22, 25-point ceiling. I don't know. It's risky. It's risky for sure. But he's playing the Hawks on the wing. The Hawks are terrible against wings, and he's Ginobili. Jeremy Lamb at 4K. He's been getting a lot of really good run off the bench. He's become really basically the whole second unit scoring, 20 points in back-to-back games off the bench here. So Jeremy Lamb, okay, a little bit risky, GPP maybe, or if he falls to you. And the other guy, Norman Powell. If we get no Damari Carroll, Norman Powell is going to play. Norman Powell is not afraid to shoot the basketball, and they need him to score. The Raptors just are struggling to score. So Norm will get some good run in that one if Damari Carroll sits. So, you know, fire up your Norman Powells there if Damari's out. At small forward, there's some interesting options here, some options that I really like. I think you've got Kyle Anderson in play. If Kawhi sits, he's been playing really well, 30 minutes. He's young. I don't think Pop minds trotting him out there for 30 minutes because of his youth. And then Terrence Ross at 4-2. Dude, the price is down. The minutes are still there. And now the matchup with Sacramento is so good. He's scary. He's very scary. Terrence Ross is very scary. But he also could go for 30 points. We've seen him do it. He shoots. He shoots the three. If he gets hot, he is really sexy. And then you also have Brandon Ingram. My Brandon Ingram hatred has been turned on its head into Brandon Ingram relative affection. Denver, pace. Minutes, tons of them. How many minutes can you play, Brandon Ingram? 30 minutes at least, minimum. 35, probably. Because they have no one else that they want to trot out at small four. They want him to be their three. They don't want Luol Deng to be the three. They have no other threes there. So Ingram getting 30 minutes. He's been going 6X. Very, very frequently here. And I love the matchup with Denver, who's terrible against the three. So Ingram absolutely in play as a value option in this one. And then I think that's about it. I think it's Anderson, Ross, and Ingram. And that's a pretty good place to save, to be honest with you. I might lock in two values there and then just kind of spend up and take my floor everywhere else. So we'll see. At power forward, I mentioned this, the lowest that I really want to go is David Lee. But then I think you also will have Trey Lyles in play if we have no Derek Favors and no Rudy Gobert. Trey Lyles is going to have to play. He's min price. He could get 25 minutes, you know, and you need some size and some athleticism against the Clippers. I don't know what they're going to do. I think Gobert will play. But I don't know. I mean, it's not really that important. If these two teams, you know, they're pretty much locked into their spot, you know, do you get a, like, playoff preview? How are we matching up with these guys? Let's learn something here, maybe. Or you get the opposite of, we know we're going to see them in the playoffs, no reason to force it now. I don't really know what you're going to get. I don't know what you're going to get from that game. But again, that's why I said it's GPP. If you want GPP stacks, stack the Clippers and the Jazz and stack the Milwaukee and Memphis. High risk, high reward, low ownership. Zeller and Dedmon are my value centers. Dedmon is really risky, guys. It's very risky. If Powell was sitting, it wouldn't be risky. But he's very risky because Powell is back. And he's been anywhere between 15 to 22 minutes. The only reason that I like Dedmon as a possible play, punt play here, is because they might need him against Dwight Howard. Powell can't guard fucking Dwight Howard. You kidding me? all I can think about when I talk about Pau Gasol is Big Bear. When I had Big Bear DFS on, he was like, Pau Gasol looks like an old, rich, middle-aged alcoholic who at the free throw line always has the shakes and he's sweating because he just really wants to drink a whole bottle of red wine. so true. Well, Pau Gasol, does not look like a basketball player, but whatever. So Dedmon possibly in play to try and maybe counter Dwight. He could get some extra run, but it's risky. That's risky. It's not a cash game play. Cody Zeller getting good minutes, still at a very reasonable price. He'll get the Bulls, you know, but it's him versus Rolo. Take your pick. They're both journeyman, you know, veteran centers who kind of don't really move, but do pick and roll and rebound, and they do enough to get on somebody's team every single year. You know, I mean, whatever. One's 5-1 and one's 4-8. You're not going to get much out of them, but, you know, their minutes are there. You know the minutes are there. So, you know, you could do worse. You could do worse. There's not much ceiling, but you know what you have. All right. So let's go ahead into lineup lock. All right, so the core of guys that I am interested in today are the following. And you know, guys, I don't really do a core necessarily driven by position, but I will do a core just based on my favorite kind of my favorite plays on the slate. You know, and I think that you then where you have less flexibility versus more flexibility. So I think my core today consists of I really like Kemba, D'Angelo, Fournier, and Jokic. Those are my four favorite kind of plays on the board, four favorite targets. You know, and the nice thing is that the cost of some of those guys are just right in the nice wheelhouse. So you don't feel like you're spending way too much, but you do have a stud. You know, you have kind of some, and then you have some more inexpensive plays with Russell and Fournier. So, you know, and Kemba's just, I want a slice of that. And we just got news that Batum might not play. He's got a migraine today. So, you know, I don't know, but it would be a big deal. And I think it would be really interesting. I'm going to presume, let's say he's out. I'm going to build this lineup like he's out. And if he's in, then okay, we can make some changes. But, Let's say he's out, and that really makes it an interesting slate for sure, no question asked. If we have Kemba, we have D'Angelo, we have Fournier. Let's go shooting guard to Jeremy Lamb. That is my oof, man, God, I hope Batum is out. Batum, Jeremy Lamb at 4K, 25, 30 minutes of Jeremy Lamb is great. He is an NBA quality player, and he's not afraid to shoot. He will play basketball. He likes to score. So I don't mind Jeremy Lamb at all. Then at small forward, it's Andrew Wiggins and Brandon Ingram. You know, I think Ingram's minutes are right there. You know, I have $200 on this lineup. I could easily go up to Terrence Ross. I just think that Ingram's floor is a lot safer. And their range outcomes very, very, very similar given the pace and the minutes. So Ingram is a little bit safer in my mind than Ross of late. Then we've got Jokic, of course, and I've got Serge in there. This is my pivot off of Marv, right? I said, if you want to get off of Marv, it's pretty easy to just go right over to Serge. I'm not going to Julius Randle. I'm going to Serge. And, you know, Serge, I think, is well-priced here. I don't love the pace of this game, so I could see myself going down to, you know, I could see myself going down into the fives and maybe getting some Zach Randolph, or not to, excuse me, some, I don't mind Zach Randolph, getting some Aaron Gordon, some Willie Cauley-Stein. Georgie Dang is also really priced down. He just hasn't done anything lately. You know, there was a time when he was just so safe, and he just isn't really getting a lot of run. Like, he's losing minutes, and it's just because he's sort of unathletic. He's kind of a one-trick pony, and if he doesn't hit his mid-range, then he just isn't really that worth it, to be completely honest with you. So that's where I'm at with that. I think, and then at center, it's Vooch. And I could take that $200, by the way, and go up to Marc Gasol. I think Vooch and Marc Gasol are kind of exactly where I want to be at center. So I'm going to do a little bit more research and figure out who it is. So, okay, again, we've got Kemba at point guard one, really nice DVP situation, possible usage bump with no Batum in the lineup. Been hitting 40 very consistently. D'Angelo Russell, excellent DVP, excellent pace, excellent total here. Price down back to back for Jordan Clarkson. He should probably get a little bit more run. Evan Fournier at 5'5", one of the best DVP situations on the slate, attacking Sacramento at the twos, who've been giving up tons of scoring on the perimeter. Jeremy Lamb, this is a value injury play if Nick Batum is out. Brandon Ingram at 4K. By the way, this is an easy swap, right? Here's an easy swap if Batum is in. I don't know if you want to play him, but it's an easy way to go from Andrew Wiggins over to Batum and then put Terrence Ross in that Andrew Wiggins spot. You know, not bad. You that's okay. Brandon Ingram at 4K, not bad. Minutes are safe. Floor is safe. Great pace matchup with Denver. Wiggins at 7'3". The price is down. Due for some positive regression. Jokic at 10K. He will be the chalk, and I will eat that chalk. Serge at 6'4". Going to look into it, but I think Serge is at a really nice price, really nice position to hit 5X here. And then Vooch at center at 6'7'5". I like Vooch in this situation against Sacramento, but I also really like Gasol. Have no problem going up to Gasol at 7'7". Kind of a toss-up, I think, Vooch and Gasol in this situation. So that's where I'm at, guys. Kemba, D'Angelo, Fournier, Lamb, Ingram, Wiggins, Jokic, Ibaka, and Vooch. Don't know if that's where I'll stay, but that's where I'm starting. We'll see. I mean, news is going to come out for sure. No question. There's a lot of news that's been breaking lately, so we got to keep our eye on that. Hit me up on Twitter if you have questions. Of course, it's at Hey Mr. Kane. Hit up Fern on Twitter at Josh Fern. Fern answering questions as well. And hey, please retweet, review, and send me your results. I'd love to see them. Love the questions coming in. Keep them up, guys. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow.